This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Abortion access in Missouri is approaching its next major battleground. Next week, in a courtroom in Kansas City, lawyers for Planned Parenthood will argue that Missouri's restrictions on abortion are violating the state's constitution. That part of the state constitution is a fairly recent addition. In 2024, it was approved as Amendment 3 by 51% of Missourians, amounting to about 1.5 million yes votes. But voters and other Missouri residents expecting abortion access to expand in 2025 did not see that come to fruition. That's because of a series of legal battles that have played out for much of the past year, a spiral of injunctions and appeals that restored abortion access, then blocked it, and then restored it again. The back and forth has all been a preview of a 10-day trial set to start Monday, January 12th. And with me to talk about that trial, what's changed since the passage of Amendment 3, and why Missourians' abortion access remained limited in 2025, I'm joined by Margot Riphagen. She's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Great Rivers. Margot, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
You became the CEO of Planned Parenthood Great Rivers, which this is a position that started for you exactly 1 year ago.
Yeah.
And so you were coming off the successful Amendment 3 campaign. In looking back at the time, were you hoping or expecting that the coming year of 2025 would be one that would be pretty smooth?
I think that is an interesting question. I'm not new to Planned Parenthood or to the fight for reproductive freedom. And stepping into this role, you know, my whole career has been building up to this point. I knew this was going to be challenging. It's Planned Parenthood, it's abortion in Missouri. And also, you know, you don't do this work without being optimistic. So I was expecting it to be challenging. I wasn't quite expecting all of the whiplash.
Mm-hmm. Did you anticipate, though, that Planned Parenthood would spend as much time as it has in court?
Yes. I did, stepping into this role. So I joined the affiliate in 2024 as the vice president of external affairs. So worked through the entire election. And I knew what was next. I expected and was there when the day after the election, we filed this lawsuit. So I knew that 2025 was going to be full of this lawsuit. I didn't quite think it would take until 2026 to get in front of a judge and to have our trial. I'm looking forward to our trial on Monday, optimistic and hopeful. But I knew that 2025 was going to be full of the court.
Mm-hmm. Now, next week, speaking of the court, a trial will begin in Kansas City. And this all started with a lawsuit that was filed less than 24 hours after the passage of Amendment 3. Margot, why was this lawsuit filed to begin with?
Yeah, so once, the 2024 Amendment 3, the Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative, passed, the next step is getting all of those laws that are now in direct violation of our Constitution off the books. So that lawsuit needed to be filed in order to go through that process to make sure that those laws were removed from the books and that, you know, the will of the people, as passed in 2024, could be fully implemented.
Now, Missouri is defending its state's laws that restrict abortion providers, and the Attorney General's office has argued that these laws are protecting patients, that abortion should be regulated like any other medical procedure. And here's a quote here. These requirements were designed to ensure that women receive care in sanitary conditions from qualified professionals. How do you respond to that?
I mean, when somebody says that, it sounds common sense. And what we know and what we have experienced over the years is that these are political attacks that are targeted at abortion as a procedure in a way that other procedures are not. I'll give you a very concrete example. We at Planned Parenthood Great Rivers also provide vasectomies. Vasectomies are not required. We don't have the same requirements. The state doesn't ask the same questions around vasectomies that they do around abortion. And so we know that these are really politically targeted. They are politically motivated, and that we provide high-quality safe care to the letter of the law. I want to be very clear here. Planned Parenthood Great Rivers always follows the letter of the law, and our patient's safety comes first. Mm-hmm. So we do everything that is required and everything that is up to medical standards. And I'd love to hear the state think a little bit more about the medical standards and meeting those requirements.
Mm-hmm. Medical standards and a complication plan. So Missouri is asking Planned Parenthood to have a complication plan in place for some procedures. Why is this an issue? And why is a requirement like that a challenge for Planned Parenthood?
Yeah. So, you know, I want to be very clear. Again, this is only required for one procedure, which is abortion. So the requirement was for us to submit a complication plan around medication abortion, which we submitted last year. And then the state changed the rules. What is so complicated for us is that these rules are not easy to meet, right? So they require a level of communication between doctors regionally that isn't standard in medical practice in this country or in Missouri. Complication plans also aren't required for any other procedures. So when we talk about a complication plan, it has become part of how we talk about abortion in Missouri. But really, when a complication plan is something that exists for any procedure that a medical provider provides, we know what we're going to do if there's a complication. We make sure that patients are safe. We transfer them if they need to be transferred. So to say we need to explicitly write out a complication plan only for one procedure, it's politically motivated. And then to change the rules when we meet that requirement is not only frustrating for us, but it is confusing for patients. Patients don't know where they can go to get care. It's intentional. All of this chaos is to make folks really confused about what is and is not available. And this trial will hopefully clarify that for Missourians.
Now, you've had a chance, Margot, to listen to the state's arguments over time, you know, as the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Great Rivers. And Andrew Bailey left his position to join the FBI. So Missouri has a new attorney general in Catherine Hanaway. Have you noticed any change in the way Missouri is handling this case around abortion?
We have not noticed any change. Was hopeful with the shift, especially because Hanaway was an elected official. Always hope that elected officials understand that, you know, they should respect the will of the people. But there's been no noticeable change. I think that will only come with time, hopefully.
And what are the potential outcomes of this trial?
Yeah, I think, you know, we remain optimistic until we're told otherwise. We continue to provide procedural abortion care here in Missouri. You know, the best case scenario here is a full enactment of 2024's Amendment 3, the Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative, which would allow us to provide not only procedural abortion, but medication abortion in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. We know that would significantly expand care. It makes it more accessible. Folks want care in the state where they live. So that is the best possible outcome here.
So procedural abortion and medication abortion, I want to make sure that we talk about each of these separately. The number of abortions that were done with Planned Parenthood clinics this year did not show much of a change. According to Missouri's Department of Health and Senior Services, Planned Parenthood clinics performed about 80 abortions between the months of January and October. And at the same time, the latest figures indicate there's something like 10 to 11,000 Missourians traveling out of the state for abortions. Margo, what can you tell us about why so few patients stayed in Missouri?
Yeah, I think, you know, I appreciate the question because it is a complicated answer, and what is happening is complicated, right? So what we know as an abortion provider is that folks prefer medication abortion when that is possible, of course, in consultation with their physician. And with medication abortion not being available in Missouri, patients are making the choice to visit our Illinois clinic where they can get either procedural abortion or a medication abortion, right? Medication abortion being taking a pill, procedural abortion, not just taking a pill, right? Mm-hmm. So what we know is that, you know, I'm not going to lie to you here. There have been challenges in restarting abortion. But one of the biggest challenges is that we can't provide medication abortion, which is the preferred method for patients. So they continue to go to Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And why can't you provide it?
We can't provide it because it's still a part of this lawsuit, right? Mm-hmm. One of the laws on the books contradicts the Right to Reproductive Freedom Initiative, and the judge hasn't ruled on it yet. Mm-hmm. So currently, we always adhere to the letter of the law. We can't provide medication abortion here in Missouri, so folks go to Illinois.
Now, so that we don't lose sight of what patients experience, back in June, I interviewed Dr. Margaret Baum, the medical officer at Planned Parenthood Great Rivers. And at the time, there had just been a court decision that, again, banned abortions in Missouri. Dr. Baum had described how there were patients with abortions scheduled who had to be contacted immediately and told that their appointments had been canceled. Is this something that Planned Parenthood has had to do multiple times throughout the year of 2025?
I mean, yes, to be frank, and it's complicated. And as I said earlier, part of the intent here is to create chaos and confusion. This legal back and forth creates confusion not only for patients, but also for us as a provider. It's intentional. We continue daily to get questions from patients. I get questions when I'm just out and about is abortion available, right? Folks don't know. It's intentional. Missourians voted for the freedom to get an abortion in the state where they live, and they keep needing to go elsewhere because Missouri doesn't want to provide basic health care to its residents. Mm-hmm. It's unfair. It's unconstitutional at this point.
What are the pressures that this kind of, you know, back and forth has? What does it put on your organization and on your patients? Like, what is the in real life toll that it takes?
I mean, the in real life toll is folks are not getting the care that they need. You know, one of the big things that we love about our Central West End clinic here in St. Louis is how accessible it is. Folks take the bus, they can get there taking the Metrolink. You can't get to Fairview Heights that easily using those methods, right? And we know we largely serve, you know, under-resourced populations, folks who are under or not insured at all, who need to come into our doors here in St. Louis, right? So, A, there's that whiplash. But, you know, the real impact is you can't just flip a switch and turn on and off a service that you provide. There are logistical challenges. We have to move staff around. We need to move equipment around, make sure we have the right medications. You know, and I would be remiss if I didn't also talk about, you know, especially considering the earlier conversation you had about maternal health outcomes here in Missouri, about the provider shortage that we are experiencing in this state. You know, filling essential provider positions has been a challenge, and it is a direct effect of these statewide abortion bans. In Missouri, we've seen a dramatic drop in OBGYN residency applications. Folks don't want to come here to learn how to be a physician. They can't practice the full scope. And doctors understand abortion is a part of healthcare. So, you know, at this point, we are living in a Missouri where half of our counties are now maternal healthcare deserts, meaning even standard prenatal care is growing scarce. And that doubly impacts Black and Brown communities, rural communities. And it means that folks, in addition to not getting abortion care, aren't getting the other essential kinds of care. Mm-hmm. It all compounds.
And on that note, another aspect of abortion access involves the clinics themselves. And STLPR reported earlier this week that as of January 1st, the Planned Parenthood clinic in Rolla ended in-person appointments. Why was this decision made, Margot?
Yeah, you know, we really, it's not a choice we made lightly. We are, of course, committed to providing high-quality, compassionate, reproductive health care across all of our communities, across the state. But what we do know is that telehealth has become more and more popular, especially essential for folks who live in these rural areas like we were just discussing. So what we know is folks are looking for that care. So we've actually pivoted the team there to doing more telehealth so that we can meet that need and that demand. You know, we have been here for over 90 years. The number of health centers we've had over that time has varied. We will continue to be here, and how we are here is going to look a little bit different, but we are meeting that need.
Mm-hmm. Telehealth is very different from in-person. What would it take to reopen the Rolla Clinic, and is that something that you are planning to do?
I mean, if I had, you know, a crystal ball, I would love to have health centers in every single part of the state. But the reality is, without stability in funding and providers, and especially in this hostile environment with the hostility of anti-abortion politicians and regulators, it's challenging to operate. So I don't have a crystal ball. We would love to, but what we do know is that we're making sure folks can get the care that they need. Mm-hmm.
Now, there were some major milestones for Planned Parenthood this year amid all of this. And the clinic in Columbia performed its first abortion since 2018. So in spite of these, you know, legal cases, were there bright spots for abortion access in Missouri in 2025 that you hope people will recognize?
Yeah, I really appreciate this question because I think it's easy to look at all of the challenges when the reality is the fact that we were able to provide abortions in Missouri mere months after passing the will of the people, that is an enormous deal. That folks are able to get the care they need in the state where they live, it is not at the level we want it. We need to expand access, but the fact that we are providing abortion and that we overturned an abortion ban in the state of Missouri, that in and of itself is something that is, you know, it's a big deal for patients.
Mm-hmm. And last question here. There was an article in the Missouri Independent in November, and it said, quote, while the last 12 months have seen a pitched battle over abortion rights in Missouri, the next 12 months will likely see some conclusion. Do you agree with that forecast?
I wake up every morning, and I am the eternal optimist. So, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Margot Riphagen. Rip Hagen is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Great Rivers. Margot, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about what's in store for this year's Missouri legislative session and also about the Department of Social Services and its new director. We'll speak with Jessica Bax about how her agency is approaching massive changes in Medicaid and SNAP and how she plans to retain child abuse investigators. And as we close, tomorrow is Darius Varner's last day as production intern for St. Louis on the Air. Darius jumped right into the mix when he started with us just days after the May 16th tornado. He's done outstanding work related to that, like whole shows about tree loss and trauma and the relevance and meaning of The Wiz for members of St. Louis's Black communities impacted by the tornado. So on behalf of the whole team here, Darius, we thank you not only for the work that you've produced, but for the vibe and the energy that you've brought. And we are delighted you'll be continuing to work with us on the monthly local music episodes. We heard his voice in our wrap-up of 2025. You can't get rid of us that fast, Darius. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.